Well, it's been a minute here on the Shape of a Circle podcast. We like doing these talks, helping you with everyday discipleship as it matches everyday relationships. Yeah. And we're reporting back on a little run that we've had. And it's more than just Cammie and I today. So you got not one, not two, but three guests with us. Who is this special fellow we got with us today, Cammie?
We have Mr. Ed Cook, pastor of Revive Church, and our Lake Point church planting resident with us. So thanks for joining us, Ed.
Closer to planting a church than being a resident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really close to planting a church.
Yeah.
And going from the resident to now just this another associate pastor around here.
Yeah. That's great.
How's it feel actually starting a church?
You know, there's so many moving parts that are happening. There's so many small things that need to be taken care of that you don't really realize it as someone who just comes in and sits down and comes to a service, mm-hmm. or even someone who's just maybe a volunteer on their part. But when you're over the whole organization, you see all of these moving parts. It kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you guys seen the Bee Movie. It reminds me of the Bee Movie, mm-hmm. and like all of this stuff that's going on, but it's all in sync, making it work to mm-hmm. bring out the honey. And that's kind of how it feels like trying to get a grasp on all these moving parts and how it all comes together.
That's good. Well, we're all looking forward to it, pushing mid-September, launching Revive Church for Milwaukee. But there's a story within the story. I know everyone who's following this podcast, super faithful listeners, and they would remember an episode exactly 13 and a half months ago in which Ed did a couple talks with us. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just church planting. It's been a conversation of where does the gospel meet race.
Yep.
Voices are deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
So to put this in terms, I think the way we described it last time, like I'm a white guy. I'm like SPF 30. If you want to figure out how white I am.
I don't
Cammie,
know what that means.
You're
like a five.
Five or 50?
No.
You're way whiter than
yeah.
I am.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, Cammie is the whitest person in the room.
Yes.
And then you got Ed Cook. What are you going to put you on the scale?
I have no idea what those mean because I've never used.
There you go.
I've never, so I'm not even, no I don't even
SPF.
Have it all. No SPF at all. Or if the higher numbers are whitest, I would probably be about a 5 or 10.
Right.
Yeah, the good Lord gave Ed his sunblock at birth.
Uh-huh. Pretty much.
And, sporting it ever since.
Yep.
And so it's been fun for Lake Point Church as a having a black resident. In church planting, in a 95% white church.
Yep.
Not because we're trying to be that white, because Muskego's
that's
that
what the
white.
Community is. Yep.
And mm-hmm. so, like last time we dropped you in the mix, my friend, it was a little like, where's this going to go?
Mm-hmm.
How's it going to turn out? And can what we have in Jesus bring something in what is the second most segregated city in America? Sometimes first, sometimes third, but I think mm-hmm. second last time I checked.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. second last time I saw it also.
Mm-hmm. So just kind of love to have you report back, you know, a year and a half later, what has this been like for you to be a black pastor in a white church on his way towards planting a black and white church?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say when I first came to Lake Point, I didn't know exactly what to expect. You know, the very first culture shock for me was you can actually do church in an hour. So, and they were like, wait a minute, church is over at 11? We start at 10? Nah.
Just getting warmed up. What do you mean we're done?
Just, like you said, we just getting warmed up. You know, the churches I've come from at 10 o'clock, we just getting warmed up. We still revving at 10 after an hour. But you can do a whole church service in an hour. So that was probably the first biggest culture shock for me, but in a good way, mm-hmm. from a standpoint of their being really open to understanding there are different ways to do church.
Mm.
We get into this place where we get into our own personal rhythms that we grew up with or that we are accustomed to,
yeah.
and we think that's the only way that it can be done effectively. Like, like if your mother cooked macaroni and cheese, you only like the way your mom did macaroni and cheese. Mm-hmm. And anybody else's macaroni and cheese just isn't quite the same as your mom's. Mm-hmm. Same thing with something like church. You think, oh, it has to be done this way or it isn't church. And really, one of the first things the Lord really introduced me to being at Lake Point is there is a different way that you can still do a service and still be effective in doing that service. So that was a really, really good starting point for me. And I think I would say, you know, the next part when we went to Exponential, that was huge for me. And just really understanding, the more I got to know people, and I think too often what time we have these unconscious biases and we have these unconscious thoughts about another person, where they're from, what they're thinking, what they like, what they don't like. But when you really just start to sit down and have conversations with people, you understand two things. Most people are way more similar than they are different.
Yeah.
And the other thing is when you lead with grace, understanding that people know what they know because that's all they know. Mm. That's all they've been taught. That's all they've been exposed to. And so people come at things a different angle because that's what they know. Mm-hmm. And when you lead with that grace and understand everybody doesn't have to think exactly how you think and everybody doesn't have to see it the way you see it. But there is the such thing called a middle ground. Mm-hmm. And there is a such thing called I see how you do it. Oh, and take a little bit from here, here, and here and be able to put something together right in the middle that actually works for all people instead of it happened to be 100% my way or no way.
So I'm gonna press you on a question.
Press.
And I'm gonna let you circle back to it because I'm gonna give Cammy a chance to jump in. I'm gonna come back to the question of so what is the white stuff you picked up from this church that you are gonna use in your church plant? Meanwhile, Cammy, just to continue the thought that he was going with, I want to hear from you. What was it like for the pile of white people at Lake Point Church where we didn't put a lot of guardrails on it?
Yeah.
Like, however you teach is how you teach. We do have a time limit, right? Like, it's got to be six.
Don't keep us here to one.
But apart from that, there wasn't much guidelines at all. You be you, and we'll receive you as best we can. How do you think it actually went for?
Yeah, just like you said, there was this awareness of, wow, we can do church differently. I think the same was true for the people of Lake Point, right? Like, oh, we can raise our hands in worship and we can, you know, give people hugs and ask them vulnerable questions. And there was just this like openness that many of the people that came from your church that you brought with you brought in, and there was this this shift of a stirring in our culture, I think was a really good way to say it. Like an awareness of like, oh, there is a new way that we could experience church even within our four walls, right? Mm-hmm. Like I would say receptively, I think people welcomed, and I'd love for you to speak on this, but I feel like everything that I heard from people are like, I love that Ed and the people from his church are here. I love hearing him speak. He brings a fresh message. I just love that Carolyn, and she's just hugging me and loving on me and checking in with me. And I love, you know, like people were just so excited to have a new voice and a new perspective coming in. And I personally did not hear any trepidation or nervousness or pushback of why are you letting people that are different from us coming into our church, and they're not even from our area. They're not, you know, I didn't hear any of that. So I'd love to hear what your perspective was, but that's from my end. That's what I saw.
I got the same thing. I mean, I would say up until maybe November, December last year, somebody would ask me every week, like, you're not leaving yet, are you? okay, that's good. I was like, no, it's probably going to be a whole nother year. Okay, great. We got you a little bit longer.
Uh-huh.
And I, I would absolutely agree. Like, it was interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I was at church, and I think Sheila May had met a lady. That was the last week I preached at Lake Point, and Sheila met a lady. And Sheila wasn't there the next week, but apparently Sheila told her, come here and give me a big old hug. And this lady came to say, I just wanted to find the lady who I hugged last week. She said, I have not cried like that, or I have not hugged or embraced a person like that in years. That's and she amazing. Just opened her arms, and the love that came from her allowed me to just break down in her arms without feeling judged or without feeling any of that. And it was just pure love. And she was like, I really just wanted to find her and thank her today. And Sheila wasn't able to make it that week. And so it was like, I don't want to call it a love fest, because you know there's probably a corner somewhere. I was like, what are we doing? Wait till they get out of here. But from everything that I saw or came back to me was all about how there's a difference here. Mm-hmm. We love this. We really don't want to lose this. Mm-hmm. Of what's happening. Do you guys really have to go? I mean, to be quite honest, and I was going to say this as a commissioning ceremony, to be quite honest, there were times where I thought about just scrapping Revive and staying at Lake Point. Mm-hmm. And my wife was even like, hey, should we just stay here? And those were harder times. And when things just felt like we were in circles and stuff wasn't happening or whatever, I was like, maybe it's just for me to stay here and we just help Lake Point then continue to grow, and I'll just be on staff and I'll volunteer. Mm-hmm. I don't need to get paid. I got a job and all that. So that was a real consideration of mine at that point, as far as like just how much it had come together. Mm-hmm. And I want to, before I go to Brian's other question, I do want to say you have to attribute Brian and you and Aaron for allowing that to happen. Because if the leadership doesn't allow that to happen, then it goes through the congregation. And I mentioned it at our ceremony. How humble do you have to be? How much of the kingdom of God do you have to be for? To watch someone else come in here like a tornado almost. And you didn't put the guardrails other than, hey, just don't go to 1 o'clock. you didn't put the guardrails on. You said, do you. And for people that didn't respond the way they responded. And then Brian doesn't go flip the whole script and be like, nah, I'm just sit you down. Because I don't know if you remember, like my first week there, I told you, I was like, Brian, you never... I'm not here to speak. I'm not here to do anything. I'm here to learn. I'm here to serve. Wherever you want me to do, I'm here. I'll sit at the door. I don't care. I'm just here to learn. And Brian's like, no, we're going to have you get up and talk. And then to have that, and then the response, and then Brian not to just flip and go, well, we can't have that because this guy's going to tear our church up or this. But to say, embrace it and just say, hey, our people love it. The kingdom is growing. We're working together because we're all on the same team.
And, you know, for good. I know I got a question that you're
that's
you're
right. No,
on,
go ahead.
I talked a while. Going is, what is your picture of our little run at this, our year and a half together, and wherever it goes from here? Like, what does that do for the gospel? What does the gospel do for race? Because I think that people are looking for little pieces of hope or traction or what do I do? Like for me, watching our church, like I was worried about it because like the posture in 2020 when I did a sermon about race was uncomfortable in the room. I had some people that crossed their arms at the introduction of the message. Today we'll be talking about race. And they did not unfold their arms until the message was done and it was time to go. And so then to have race right there in your worship with Jesus, with the gospel, like what's going to win right now? The agitation on the news, the walls that are up, the segregation in the city, or the gospel of Jesus in the room. And those arms were never folded your time here. what was inspiring for me is that it wasn't our hip young 20-somethings that are like, yay, diversity.
Yeah.
It was our old, set in their ways boomers,
yep,
who have been most enthusiastic, who most readily joined your alive. Lives,
they have totally come alive, that group.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So I'm watching and I'm like, something is here that is a story worth telling to give hope to other people what churches and gospel can do with Jesus. What story would you tell about that?
Wow. Before I tell that story, I got to tell this story. I remember when we first got here, and I'm here like a week, and Brian goes, hey, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a panel discussion on. We're going to talk about race. And I was like, what? Like, wait, Brian, I just got here. You're trying to get me kicked out already. And we're going to talk about the dirty words like white privilege. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous.
Huh? Rip off the Band-Aid.
Right, rip off the Band-Aid. Yeah. I was nervous. I was nervous, but I thank God. I thank the Spirit. I thanked you. I was like, because I thought your intro to that whole thing was really, really good, and it really helped set the stage. And then I loved how the Holy Spirit just kind of walked us through it, not in a white people are bad and you got privilege, because it's not that. It was, and how he walked us through that. To be able to then rip that Band-Aid off. And I didn't know what kind of responses we would get, but we got some really, really great responses after that. And I think that helped kind of open the floodgates to say, well, this guy's not coming to just beat us up or tell us how wrong we are, but this really is, to your point and to your question, what does that mean for the gospel going forward? I think too often what happens are there are too many assumptions on both sides about what another person thinks and how another person feels. Mm-hmm. What we've done in the last year and a half is really ripped those Band-Aids. We've ripped off the presumption and said, hey, we can worship together. We can worship together. We're all worshiping the same God. Mm-hmm. Jesus saved us all. Now, I will say this, and I'll turn this, drop this corner, or turn this corner, drop the bomb. What I would really, I think the next phase of this is, what does that look like? Because in reality, we were in a white setting. Mm-hmm. There were black people mm-hmm. coming to a white setting, still introducing new concepts, introducing new ideas, but not necessarily wholeheartedly dislike overhaul of the culture in one week.
Yeah.
There were things that happened. Raise hands happened over time.
Yeah.
Prayer happened over time. Hugging and being open happened over time. It wasn't this flip.
Yeah.
So it was really I would call it a white setting with some black influence.
Yeah.
So now when you get to Revive, it's probably going to be more of a black setting with white influence. Mm-hmm. And can those same people, not to say, you know what I mean, can people in that setting still be comfortable? Because there was still a level of comfort, because, you know, I had my niece come in and sing 1 week, mm-hmm. one song, and it was a whole different vibe mm-hmm. than what Absolutely. Worship would have been there. And people say they liked it, but I didn't really hear anything bad about it.
Yeah.
But again, that was just an introduction. What happens if some people come to one of our services where it's still going to be mixed, it's still going to be cultural, but it'll be more of a black setting.
Yeah.
With lots of white influence. And so back to the original question, what did I really take? You know, I took, hey, we can do...
What's the white stuff you're taking?
We can do church in an hour. I think we're going to be more like an
you
hour.
You can't do church in an hour.
I really can't. Hour and five.
I will believe that when I see it.
I did it this weekend. Three times.
Three times.
I think it'll be closer to about an hour and 15 minutes. I think... there's just some nuances or intricacies that we want to make sure that would be a little bit different from Lake. We can do church. It don't have to be all night. And we don't have to, you know, do 3 hours of praise and worship to feel like we connected with God. Mm. I've taken a mixture of a lot of things. I love kind of like the service host. I've never seen that before I got to Lake Point. Mm. I love the thought process around maybe doing all of our announcements, via video or just somebody really quick read them. Mm-hmm. The thing that really stood out to me that I'm taking away also is just from an offering standpoint. I just come from a tradition where offering gets about 15 minutes. Mm. It's 15, 20 minutes where we're going to read you 8 scriptures and we're going to preach a whole sermon just on giving. Whereas, you know what? People are going to give when they're going to give.
What do you do? Like, if it's not in the bucket, you're going to pass it twice?
Hey, look.
Why does it take so long?
Look.
We got to get you
ready.
3 times today.
All hearts and minds are clear. we got to read these scriptures. So you almost preach a whole sermon to do offering. Uh-huh. And just, you know, from watching Lake Point and just some other people that I know who have some multicultural churches. And it was like, no, you don't have to do all of that. You present it. You say you get 2 minutes on it. People are going to give what they're going to give. Yeah. You're not. And if you're guilting them into giving, then that offering really means nothing because they didn't do it cheerfully anyway. Mm-hmm. And so those are kind of things, and just kind of being on point in time and all that stuff, and say, hey, hour 15. That's why I said I'm maybe not an hour, but an hour 15, between an hour and 15, we're good.
Okay. So is this just kind of it then? Lake Point planted one more church. Now we're done. We'll find the next guy. Good luck, Ed.
So I don't think so. Oh, we'll let Cammy go.
I think the really cool thing that I don't think a lot of people know is Brian was not sitting at his desk going, where is a black pastor that I can invite to do, like, I really have a heart for race, and so I'm gonna make sure that this happens this year, and we're gonna just make, you know, and that is something that is on your heart is the greater Milwaukee area and finding those bridges. But it was not something where you're like, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna hunt down Ed Cook and we're gonna make this work. And there was a lot that the Holy Spirit made happen, and there was a lot of perfectly timed things that happened that just fell into place. And so as we're talking about all the logistics of the pastoral side of it, I think there's some really cool relationship building stuff that has happened over the last year and a half, not just in this room, right? Like the people that came with you from your church and the people of our church and this launch team that's sending out that is, I don't even, you'll have to speak to what the percentage is that's Lake Point people that are on your launch team. But like, all of these relationships that have been built, I feel like are the end result of an incredible year and a half. And it is creating this bridge between a suburb of Milwaukee and this more Milwaukee inner city multi ethnic background. And so,
so what makes me so passionate about that is Milwaukee does feel a little bit like a bottomless pit of needs.
Yes.
Or a big yellow page directory of all these great nonprofits. Like, how on earth do you pick between 100 of them? And why is your church going to want to get invested in 2 or 3?
Right.
We will work with the relationships we know. You are our bridge to Milwaukee. You tell us which nonprofits to work with. You tell us which events to show up at. You tell us how to serve. You know your community and you know us.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bridge for a suburban church to make a meaningful presence further into Milwaukee. And it's through the next church. It's through the plant.
Yeah.
I would say what I'm super excited about is oftentimes these relationships can be, or I've seen them in other plants of, hey, we had a church that backed us. We planted our church and now we're kind of our own thing. Mm-hmm. And the church, it's almost like we cut the umbilical cord or we cut the ties or fly kite and we cut the string and the
which
kite.
In some cases is needed.
It's something.
Sometimes you have to let them fly the nest.
Yeah, some cases it's neat. You're absolutely right. But I think what feels different about this or feels really uplifting about this isn't a, Ed, we love you. Thanks for planting. And if you know somebody else that wants to plant, send them our way. Maybe we'll be able to say this feels more like a sustained, lasting relationship or lasting partnership that serves Southeast Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Not
this
just
is
Milwaukee.
Big C church stuff.
Yeah, Milwaukee, not just Muskego. Some people have asked me, are you guys a offshoot of Lake Point? I'm like, no, we're our own entity, but we are one unit.
Yeah.
Preaching the gospel, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, but in a community, one big church that's going to continue to partner and be together. It's not like you're just releasing us and we'll see you later and make sure you just send us an update on how you're doing. Mm-hmm. We're really planning to do the gospel together going mm-hmm. forward. And that's mm-hmm. what I love about this.
I think you're teaching us how to plant churches better that way. Yeah. We could have done better for Mike Francisco and 1128. We could have done better for Brian McKee and City of Light. I think you've taught us a lot about how to really be a community. And again, it's fun because in a city like this, you'd think this would be the last spot that a community could mm-hmm. or would happen. Black, white, city, suburb. A lot of different genre differences, but with Jesus at the middle, I think this is a thin slice of many, many things that can be built from here.